Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast.
Hey guys, Jason Bond, Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast. Bobby Golden's here with me, and we have a special guest calling in on our super duper call-in line, Dr. Eric Webster from the LSU Ag Center. What's going on, Eric?
Everything's okay, man. Got a little bit of sunshine today, believe it or not.
Wind blowing down there like it is here?
Not as of this morning, but it was blowing yesterday, so it may pick up. We may get a little bit off that hurricane before it's all said and done. Wind.
That thing's bending and going to Florida, though, isn't it?
We can catch it back. Yeah, but we're on that. We're liable to get a little bit out of it, so we don't need the rain, though.
Yeah, it's kind of hard for them to get this far west this time of year. They usually bend pretty hard.
Yeah, with that front coming, too, it may push that thing, cut the top off of it, hopefully.
So, Eric, how far are y'all along into that second crop? Are y'all about done?
No, we're probably just getting started good. I was over to Crowley, because I live here in Baton Rouge, so I was in Crowley late last week. I saw very few fields being harvested. A lot of it is it's just so wet over there, Bobby. I don't know if we've gone without rain for a two-day time frame in the last 4 to 6 weeks.
I know I was down there probably about 3-4 weeks ago, and it was raining on me. So
yeah, it doesn't look like we're going to probably cut any beans. And, you know, that second crop, you start getting in it and rutting it up, and then you got a mess even trying to get it ready for next year. So I don't know. And if it gets bad like the beans are, I don't know how much of it we'll get. But we're just now, you know, 1st of October is when we really start thinking about getting in the fields. And I rode around quite a bit the other day. I didn't see the first combine or looked like anything had been cut for the second time.
It's been wet here too, but fortunately we hadn't been that wet. And, you know, we've had some good weather over the past week or so. Guys are moving on through pretty good. So, you know, we might have jumped the gun a little bit, Bobby, and we didn't really tell anybody who Eric was. You know, some folks might not know who he is. So.
Well, by now they figure he works in Rice and he's somewhere
in the I-10
corridor.
Yeah, we narrowed that down pretty quick. So, anyway, Eric, why don't you tell folks who you are and where you came from in case they don't know?
Yeah, well, I've been I grew up in Alabama and then, of course, went to school at Auburn. They got beat this weekend, by the way. Then went to Mississippi State, got a PhD there, worked for the University of Arkansas for a couple of years, and I've been at LSU now for 21 years doing primarily rice work, rice weed management. And I do the whole state. I'm research and extension. So been down here for a while.
How does it feel when your alma mater beats your alma mater? I know you're an Auburn guy.
It kind of actually makes it easier because I can pull for whoever won. And it doesn't hurt that I've got a son at Auburn that's a senior at Auburn, and I've got a sophomore at Mississippi State. So
you're not full on the Gus bus?
No, I haven't been on the Gus bus for some time. I think
there's some open seats on the Gus bus.
Yeah, there are a lot. There probably shouldn't be. It shouldn't be full because I think it's going over the cliff.
Oh, man, that's
look, you know, we can joke with you.
If I thought they would fire him after this week, I'd pull for the University of Tennessee this weekend.
Well, we've rode the Gus bus before, so we know how that feels. He just wasn't our head coach.
Yeah, it's cliffhanger for sure.
The amount of money that they're throwing at these guys now and then guarantee it aggravates me.
I work pretty hard. I'm not guaranteed anything, and I'm not telling y'all anything. Y'all doing the same thing. So me and Eric go way back. You know, Eric was at LSU when I was in school down there, so a lot of what I know is because of Eric. So, man, I always, you know, want to take opportunity to say thank you for everything you've done for me. But
actually, we go back a lot further than that because when I interviewed at the University of Arkansas, your dad was on the search committee.
Well, that's true.
And I met you when you were working for AMSI that summer.
Well, I mean, if you want to get right down into the weeds, I mean, part of the reason I got a master's degree at LSU is because you told me to stay down there when you were at Arkansas, and then you showed up before I got going good. So
yeah.
I've always wondered if you knew you were coming down there when you told me to do that.
No,
all right, y'all quit kissing each other's butt, and let's talk about something people want to hear about.
So anyway, Eric, we got some new things in Rice, and we've talked about a lot of that on here, you know, over the last few months. But definitely with something like Provisia, you know, because we just had a we just had a handful of acres out, nothing to really.
I bet we had less than 1,000 acres in the state, probably.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so just a little bit, and I know y'all had more than that, and rightfully so. So just kind of give us your idea on how that technology did in the first year.
Well, I think it was, you know, I always sort of prepare guys for the worst and hope for the best. So, you know, I'd kind of told them, you know, there's probably going to be some injury issues. And we did have some of that, but the weed control from a grass standpoint, I don't think people really had a feel of how good it was going to be. And they're all indications of what I'm hearing, everybody was extremely pleased with the weed control side of it. Of course, I've always told guys, let's, you know, stay away from tank mixes, even though I knew it was going to happen. I think a lot of people did it without any really adverse situations, any antagonism or anything like that going on. Yields are surprising most everyone. You know, we're not probably at the state average. We're going to probably be somewhere around 7,000 pounds on the first crop. State average, and we may wind up there around there anyway. But I think guys, you know, I've heard yields in that 6,500 range, which they're very pleased with considering what we had kind of prepared them that it was going to do. And I think a lot of that goes back to the weed control side of it. Again, we saw some issues with injury early, especially because we were so wet and cold. You know, we went from being really, really cold and wet to hot all in, you know, seemed like in about a day's time. And weed control-wise, we've got a lot of the weedy rice down here, but we have a lot of perennial grasses that cause us a lot of problems. And we have a lot of, especially in the Crowley area, we're getting a lot of Neely Sprangletop coming in, and it's a really good Neely Sprangletop herbicide. And it's just doing some things that people didn't think it was going to be able to do. Fall panicum, things that we just have trouble controlling. This one's got pretty good activity on. So I think first year-wise, I think people were really pleased. We sort of tested it. I mean, we had more than 1,000 acres. I don't know what the final number is. I think they were somewhere around 90,000 total. We probably had two-thirds of that here in Louisiana, of that 90,000, if not a little bit more than that. And, of course, most of that in South Louisiana.
What system did guys use, Eric? I mean, on their strategy with the Provisia herbicide on those acres, was there one that kind of stood out? Or?
Yeah, I think most people, you know, kind of did what we sort of had kind of been recommending, is use a grass herbicide up front. And probably most of the acreage got some command at some point in time. It's pre or maybe even in that early post application with Provisia. Most everybody did two applications. There was a little bit playing with rates. Probably went with the 15 ounce. Most of it got 15 ounces the first time, got a little bit of injury from it, and then backed off maybe to 13 on the second. Had a few guys do the three applications of 10. Even though 10 ounces a shot, even though it's not labeled for that, they were doing it. And especially because we were in such adverse growing conditions early on that there was some 10-ounce stuff that went out initially. And got some really good reviews on that, but they did, you know, preface that by saying, look, I did it, but I had to come back pretty quick with that second app. You got to stay on top of it when you do the three 10-ounce shots. And then, you know, I think probably, I don't know if much went out that didn't have, you know, quarter to a half ounce of permit or permit plus in there with it just for sedges.
Well, and that was going to be my next question. The whole time we've been working with this herbicide, the mixtures has always been one of the primary questions. And then you mentioned that, you know, there was a lot of mixtures that went out with pretty good success. So was there a mixture that got on some acres that, you know, you were surprised by how well it worked?
Probably that one. Would probably lean more towards a permit plus, because you can't play with the rate quite as much as you can with permit.
Right.
Because of the thiophene sulfuron that's in that mix. And I think it performed pretty well. You know, and I think I don't know how much, but there was probably a little bit of loyant that went out with it too, especially where there was some aquatics in these areas. You know, the creeping burr heads and the grassy arrow leaf and those kind of things that we have. There's probably a little bit of that. I know in south of Lake Charles in that area, there was some of that went out, some I know for a fact some of the Pervasia loiant went out in that area. Most all of it was drill seeded this year, too.
Well, and that was going to be my next question on the, you know, if there was much water seeding going out. So did they get those two applications, were the majority of those, did those get out before the flood in that drill seeded system, or was there much that went out in the water?
Pretty much everything went out in that, you know, right before the permanent flood. Some of it may have gone out right after it was applied. There was, I know there was some of that going on. I don't know. I think most of it was probably pre-flood. You know, and a lot of that post-flood stuff, they just got a rain shower and they held that water. You know, they weren't going to let that stuff go.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that was part of it, why it came. They came back with that. But I think the big hole is, like we all expected, is that third application. We had a lot of escapes. I won't say a lot of escapes, but every field had those streaks through the field that got missed that we knew we were going to have, and we knew we needed that third application. It's going to kind of play back to what happened with Clearfield rice. We had two applications in New Path, and then within 2 years we realized, hey, we need a third application. And I think that's what's going to happen with this one. We realize now, hey, we're going to have something to clean up these misses in the field.
All right, so you mentioned loiant. So let's mm-hmm. let's just throw that out there and talk about it. You know, got a whatever you want to call it, attention on social media, things like that. You know, our experience with it, I think we had all of that. That was talked about on a small scale, and you know, we've discussed it at length on here. And I think for the most part, our experience was positive.
I think it was positive for a first year release.
You know,
you're always learning what to do in year number one. And I think it was oversold a little bit. But I think, you know, for year number one, we can come away with the environmental conditions we had this year feeling good about it.
And you described, Eric, it going from cold and wet to hot all of a sudden. And we had the same thing here, too. And I attribute a lot of the problems, or the problems that we had, I attribute a lot of them to that drastic change in weather and the fact that we were going out on some hot, dry conditions. So y'all's, on the majority of y'all's acres, the time frame is different than it is on our latitude. So just give us your perception of how that thing did in the first year.
I think as a whole for us, it was definitely positive. I think, Bobby, when you said it, I was thinking it was oversold. It was oversold on the fact that it's a grass herbicide. And really what it is kind of like how I describe, you know, Regiment and grass. They're broadleaf herbicides that happen to have some activity on barnyard grass. This is a broadleaf herbicide that happens to have activity on several grasses. It's just you can't let them get out of hand. What we saw this year was, you know, just from our aquatic standpoint, because of our crawfish rice rotation, you know, we get into those weeds that I mentioned a little bit earlier, the creeping burrheads, the grassy arrowleaf, some people call it bull tongue, those kind of things, and this herbicide just fits really well in it. It fits well in our water-seeded systems because we can put it out relatively early, and kind of, my first call every year is duck salad, because people have held water during the winter. They planted into an already existing stand of duck salad, and this herbicide kind of fits right into that market. We had saw most of our injury issues that we had were all kind of up in the north part of the state. And of course, I got a lot of calls. I get a fair amount of calls out of Texas, and of course, a lot of those guys were putting it on the hybrid, in that hybrid production, so they're putting it on either the male or the female of that, and got a lot of injury, which I would have expected that to happen. I told everybody all last winter that I thought we were going to have some injury issues that we weren't ready for, because you and I, everybody has kind of looked on it on a limited basis, and that kind of played out. But as a whole, I think we were very successful. We got really good weed control out of it. We didn't have those failures. Now, we found out kind of what you were mentioning, Jason, when you put it on dry ground, as one of my grad students that's working on it now, Sam Rustem, says if you can walk out there with a pair of tennis shoes on, don't spray loiant. So, you know, we kind of saw that this year. I'm seeing a little bit more antagonism mixed with ALS herbicides like Permint. league, regiment, those kind of things, we saw quite a bit more, especially in our research plots with that, which I had not seen to the extent that we saw this year.
I think we saw, not to butt in on you, but I think we saw the same thing.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to that dry ground. It's going to be almost like what I call a regiment in a grasp. In a lot of cases, it's going to be one of those herbicides you're going to have in your back pocket. And going into the year, I'm not sure you're going to use it like what people thought it was going to be used, like on every acre. I don't know if that's – I think this herbicide's going to be a – I need that here in this field.
Yeah.
It's what it's going to wind up being. Now, you get into southwest, extreme southwest, where I was talking about, you know, down there south of Lake Charles and Iowa and Eunice and those kind of areas down in that you know, in Calcasieu Parish, you're going to – or Jennings – in Calcasieu Parish, you're going to see some guys are going to put command, and then they're going to come back with a shot of Loyant and probably walk away from it. And they did some of that this year. But they got the weed spectrum that fits that herbicide.
Right. So, and would that be water-seeded, or would that be
drill-seeded? It's probably going to be, you know, we have a good bit of water-seeded down there, but it'll be probably maybe a little over 50% water-seeded, but there's still a lot of drill-seeded rice down there.
What are you thinking going forward, Eric, on the soil moisture part of it?
Yeah, I'm almost to the point now that if you can get a ground rig out there, you probably don't need to spray it.
So a la clincher then?
Yeah, pretty much. I don't think it's a flooded situation like clincher, but I think you better have really good soil moisture before you think about doing it. I'm not going to say you can't do it with ground equipment, but, man, you better make sure that, you know, that hay, that it's small and actively growing.
What about chasing the water? You got to have really good well, or how big a field, or would you just not, no dry ground application at all?
Yeah, I'm a three-day guy. I mean, if you put it out there, you better be able to get a flood on a field in 3 days. I think the label says six, but you better be in the 3 day, which, you know, 3 days, you know, we got a lot of six, eight inch wells trying to flood 1,000 acres.
Man. That's what I was going to say. That's a tall order in a lot of situations.
But, you know, like you were saying too, it kind of fits us because we were putting it out in those wet times. Worked well for us. Now, drift wise, we had a couple of situations. You know, one was pretty bad. You know, 600-800 acres of beans got hit at one time. But for the most part, we kind of kept it where it was being put. You know, it's. I don't think it's a, you know, the problems y'all have had with dicamba. It's not a dicamba. I don't think it gets up and moves and that kind of thing.
Well, one thing I've often heard you say, and I say it a lot too, is, you know, that particular class, or, you know, they're not necessarily herbicides. They're growth regulators that you use as a herbicide, so you can't expect to fit them into the box that you can, you know, with ALS herbicides or ACCA herbicides and, you know, those categorical stuff. All right, well, you know, the other new stuff, what about Rogue?
We had some I guess if you want to call them EUPs out around the state. I didn't look at those, but all indications it did well. You know, the problem with Rogue is you're gonna have to really be on top of it. You know, you got to make sure you got water on the field. If it's not flooded, for sure don't do it. And if you think you're gonna lose it for some reason within a week to 10 days or maybe even 2 weeks. You don't need to lose that flood. It's got some really good activity on some troublesome weeds. It's a really good duck salad herbicide, but it's also got some major weaknesses too. You know, it'll release some things that people up there may not really think about, you know, false pippernel, those kind of things. It just sort of comes in behind it. Again, that's more of a crawfish type thing. You'll see it down here. I don't know if y'all have that much up there.
As a rule, man, aquatics just aren't.
Yeah.
You know, we have trouble in places, but as a rule, they're not a problem for us.
But it's just one of those weeds you probably never seen in your field till you put Rogue out there.
So, I mean, I think there's a place for it. Do you foresee it? Obviously, not a huge player, but do you foresee it having a place in y'all's production?
Yeah, see, when I thought Loyant beat it to the market, and I'm just being honest, when I thought Loyant beat it to the market, I thought there would be no way this thing was going to have a fit. But I think now, I think it'll have a special fit in places for us because it's a good sedge herbicide as well. And especially when they go with the Rogue Plus, it's going to have the permit in there with it. You're going to be able to do a pretty decent job on all the sedges. And we don't have a tremendous amount of rice flats edge resistant to halo to permit down here. And if you do, the benzo's real good on it. So I think it's going to have a nice little fit. I don't know if it's going to be tons and tons of it put out, though. I think it'll be just one of those specialty herbicides that kind of fit into certain areas, especially in that, like I said, that rice crawfish rotation is going to fit well in.
Yeah. All right. Well, so Gallen had another new product, too, with Gambit. You had a chance to look at it on production scale?
The ones you've mentioned that surprised everybody. A really good herbicide. Looks really good pre at an ounce and a half.
Man, you're right. I surprised the heck out of me, for sure.
Yeah, and I've worked with it for a long time, but it you know, I probably didn't work with it. I wouldn't position it in that burn down or a residual program, and that's probably where it needs to be. I mean, when you stack it up next to, say, a Sharpen, you know, when you got Command in the system, if you got that compared to a Command Sharpen or a Command Valor, I mean, in my opinion, there's no comparison. And the long residual you get out of it, especially on weeds that we have a little bit of trouble with, like Eclipta, really good residual on Eclipta. Probably not as good as I'd like to see on Sesbania and Joint Vetch, but, you know, it does, you can always come back with something post on those and get those out of the way. So I think it's got a lot of, I think we're going to see a bunch of Gambit going out this year. The one problem we were seeing, and I had not played with the water on it, you probably need to wait 48 to 72 hours before you establish a flood, kind of like that regiment and grasp label, the way it reads. Those two labels read, you probably don't need to follow with a flood soon after application. Need to give it a few days.
And that's from a tolerance, rice tolerance, or?
From a control standpoint.
Okay.
Yeah. I think, and it mainly on weeds that it's kind of middle of the road, a little bit better than that, like alligator weed. You know, I think it's a really good alligator weed herbicide, but some of the failures that we saw, and I won't call them failures, but the reduced control seemed to be where that flood was put on the field within 24 hours of application, and we probably need to give it a little bit more time.
So what I hear y'all saying is it's an exciting time to be a weed scientist in rice right now. We've got a lot of
tools.
Well,
it has been for a long time, Bobby. I mean, I've been doing this and counting Arkansas for 23 years now, and we've labeled a new herbicide in rice almost one per year on average for that 23 years. And there's not another crop that's had that. And the stuff when I first started doing rice, you know, when I first started in rice back in 1996, I mean, the propanils and we still use those, but the whole system has changed. Every herbicide we use has come on the market, you know, for the most part in the last 21, 22 years.
So why do y'all think that is? I mean, both of y'all being weed scientists, why do you think, is it because rice is a food crop and then they can invest money in it, or?
That, and it's international, I think. I mean, not that the other crops aren't international, but, you know, and the lack of technologies, too. Clearfield's not Roundup ready. I mean,
I think Jason hit on it. I mean, you think about it. If you, and rice production across the world is different everywhere you go, but if you were to find a herbicide that you could use on every acre of rice production in the world,
that'd be a bad mama jama.
That would be bad, yeah. So I think there's, and then, you know, once you get to a certain level from a production standpoint, the manual labor, other than some of these, you know, third world countries, you just don't have it. It's got to be, you got to do chemical weed control for the most part. And, you know, it's the number one input when you really think about it, is herbicide application. So there's, even though, you know, we got, what, a little over 3-4 million acres here in the States, that still, you know, it's an intensely grown crop and a heavy emphasis on herbicide.
Well, man, we appreciate you taking time out of your morning to talk with us, and we'll definitely see you in December. Eric's coming up to Starkville to the row crop short course and lay some wisdom on us for that meeting. So look forward to seeing you then. You got any parting shots there, Bobby?
Yeah, Eric, I won't see you in December at the short course because I'm going to be in California at the Rice Outlook. So, hey, I'm going to miss you on that, and maybe I'll see you in between there. No, I think it's an exciting time to be in Rice. You've heard everybody talk about all these new chemicals. I think we've got a long way to go before we get a silver bullet chemical. But, you know, with the amount of resistance we've had in Rice, seeing new things come out every year is going to keep that train moving forward.
That's fact.
All right, guys, we're going to jump off, but we appreciate y'all listening. If we can do anything for you, as you know, just give us a call and we'll get to you as soon as we can.
The Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast is produced by the Mississippi State University Extension Service.